So, as we ended last week's parsha, and we know something. We know that, you know, sometimes we make observations regarding the chapters, and we talk about the archbishop and so on. But Lahavdil, and you do have to say Lahavdil, also the division of the parshiot, are not something which is necessarily organic. It's something which was the function of a particular custom, what we call the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael versus the Minhag of Bavel. So we the parshiot that we have of the Minhag of Bavel. So I'm going to ignore it for a second, because when you divide things a little differently, they look differently. Towards the end of last week's parsha, it says, "Vayishkeim Lavan baboker, v'yinashek Lavanav levinotav, v'yivarech aten, v'yilech v'yashav Lavan lemkomo." So here we have the separation and the leaving, and Lavan goes back home. Lavan gets up early. "V'yakov alach lederko, v'yifke'u bo malchei Elohim," and he then bumps into Malchei Elohim. Now, what's interesting is that when we started last week, we also had v'yifka b'makom, that you have. And that's where Chazal say, that's where Yaakov was davening. So I don't know why we don't say this for Yifka Ubo is davening. I mean, of course, the phraseology is different. It's Yifka Ubo Malchei Elohim, and Malchei Elohim then creates another similarity to last week. And last week, in the very beginning, when Yaakov leaves Eretz Yisrael, he sees the Sulam, he sees the Malchei Elohim, Olim V'Yardim. So over here, again, you have this Yifka U, and you have the Malchei Elohim. But Yom Yaakov Kasher Machanei Elohim Zeh V'Yikret Shem Akom Ahu Machanayim. Now, there is a hard stop over there, which means that I'm making it look as if it's, you know, just continues from Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Dalet. That's not really true. And again, don't get upset with me that we kind of ignored the division of the parshiot and instead we adopted the archbishop, but I'm just showing you can read it that way. I'm not even saying that as a svara. I'm much more interested in the malachim. And then we start Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Elei Savachiv. So here Rashi says Malachim Mamash, that Rashi is saying that it's angels, because Rashi seems to be reading this as the continuation of the previous section. And just like those were angels, these are angels. Of course, you can counter and say, but there's a difference, because those are called Malchei Elohim and these are called Malachim, so maybe that's the difference. And Uncle sees these as being messengers, and he sends messengers, and he tells them to go to Esav, Vayitzavotam Lema Kol Tamrula Adunila Esav. And we are a little troubled as far as what Yaakov then does. Komar avdecha Yaakov im lovan garti vechar ad ata. Now, a lot of us know that im lovan garti v'tarig mitzvot shamarti, which is actually a little difficult because he didn't necessarily keep all tarig mitzvot. For example, he may have married two sisters, which may not have been accepted in terms of lacha. I didn't track it down before the shir. I did see once a discussion that part of Rashi, Lavan Garti, Targ Mitzvah, right, Shamarti, is not part of the original text of Rashi. The original manuscript of Rashi did not have that line. It somehow had entered at some later point. As I said, I have a recollection of this, but I did not go and try to track it down. But let's move a little bit more towards Pshat. What is Yaakov saying? He's not talking about the Tarig Mitzvah. What is Yaakov saying in terms of Pshat? He's trying to explain to Esav, or send messages to Esav, what has taken so long, where he's been. So let's go back a second. Yaakov ran away for one reason. I'll say he ran away because his mother said that Esav wants to kill you. And she said that when Esav comes down, I'll send for you. So as far as his mother's, you know, instructions and his therefore running away, we have not heard from her again. We never hear from her again. We don't know if Esav is still upset. In fact, we have no reason to believe the situation has changed. So that's point number one. As far as his father goes, his father said, go and find the Shidduch. So presumably, you know, Yaakov, according to the Gemara, was a very attractive man. One would think he wouldn't have such a hard time finding a Shidduch. I don't know why this should have taken over 20 years for him to find the right person. So when I'm saying that, you know, and I know, it didn't take him so long. But Yitzchak said to find the Shidduch, and presumably you come back afterwards. So it's taken so long. So now, as far as the journey that his father sent him on, that should have ended a long time ago. He should have come back. Now, there's another factor in all of this. There's only two more factors. Esav, and then there's God. But Esav, I don't know if he said goodbye before he left. Presumably he didn't. And now he has to explain to Esav where he's been till this point. He says, I've been living with Lavan. I've been hanging out with Lavan. Right? which is actually interesting. He doesn't say, I got married there. He doesn't mention, you know, that his father sent him. I mean, one could have said, our father sent me to go there, because it doesn't seem to make so much sense, because your father said, get a wife and come back. Why has he been there so long? So he says, I've been with Lavan. Okay. Then, and as I said, God is in the back of all this, because God said from the very beginning, that was the beginning of last week's parasha, he said that I'll take care of you. You're protected and I have your back and so on. So now Yaakov does something else, which I think we could question. I have accumulated all of this stuff. Now, if you're Esav and you're listening to this message that's coming toward you, you may very well be saying, ah, very nice that you have all these things. You know that all this should be mine, that you stole my bracha, you stole the bounty that I should have had, and therefore all these blessings are mine. So it is a little strange that on the one hand he's saying, where I've been loving. On the other hand, he's saying, oh yeah, by the way, now I have all of this stuff. And of course you note along the way that he tells him specifically to say Adoni Esav back in Pasukei and Avdecha Yaakov. So he's trying to recalibrate the relationship as such, where Yaakov doesn't benefit from the bracha, where the person who's the bracha will be the master of the other one. So Yaakov sounds on the one hand to try to be to undo the hatred that Esav may have based upon who is superior. Right, I'm only your servant. On the other hand, he's mentioning all the gifts that he has. So then what happens, then we're told that the Malachim come back, Veshuva Malachim al Yaakov Lemar, Banu Lachicha el Esav, we came to Esav, Vagam alech lekotcha v'arba mot yishimo. And Esav is coming for you, and he has together with him some 400 men. And that should most certainly be a cause for concern, that Esav is coming with all of these, I'll call them mercenaries for lack of a better term right now, then that should frighten Yaakov. But indeed, in Pasuk Chet it says, Vayira Yaakov ma'od v'yetzer lo. By the way, Rashi over here famously says, Vayira, he was afraid that he would be killed, v'yetzer lo, but it disturbed him that he would kill others. Rashi writes, Shema yehoreges acherim, he may kill others. So first of all, the Kotzker Rebbe says, what does it mean, Acherim? Acherim all over the Gemara means Acherim. Who's Acherim when it says? If there's one opinion, then Acherim. Acherim is always Rav Meir in the name of Acher. So therefore, Rav Meir was a convert. So if he would have killed Esav, there never would have been a Rav Meir. And therefore, there never been Acherim. So Acherim. So that's the Kotzker. The Kotzker is very clever. But if you look at the Gur Aryeh, right, the Maharal in his commentary on Rashi, it very much sounds like he's saying that he's afraid he'll kill some of these 400 people and they may be innocent. But what do you mean they're innocent? They're together. Esav wants to kill him. He goes, but we don't know about the 400 people. Maybe they're just there. And he ends up getting towards a situation of perhaps, you know, you have the terrorist and then you have the other people who are there living together or coming together or traveling together with him. So therefore, are they really innocent or not? And you can look at the Gur Aryeh because it may be quite timely. So Yaakov then articulates something else along the way. So let's pay attention. One is he says, Vayachetz et ha'am, he takes upon a strategy, divides the people and all the possessions into two camps. That was Pasuk Chet. Pasuk Tet, Vayomim yivoyis av l'machne achad v'yikahu. Now, his fear is that they are going to, a makeh, by the way, does not necessarily only mean to hit, it means to kill. And again, if Esav goes and kills, slaughters one of the camps, so what's in Yaakov's mind is really clear. If Esav is coming with 400 mercenaries, then that could be the end. And therefore, he's saying, at least let's try to do something strategically that at least there maybe we can salvage something. And now God gets involved in this. God who had said to go back and it'll be good for you. And I want to stress something. There may have been a time lag between the time that God says to go and between the time that Yaakov goes. I mean, he gets busy in the middle about the making some money and leaving with some money afterwards and the flock and the stripes and the spots and whatever. But God said to go back, but did Yaakov do this in a perfect way? But we'll leave this because we don't like to pick on victims. Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emet, which is interesting because Yaakov may be saying that maybe I'm undeserving. But God said, I'll take care of you. Asher asiti tavdecha, ki mimakli avarti te yardin azeh, v'ata yiti l'shnei machanot. Which again, ironically, may not be that good that there's shnei machanot. That's part of the strategy to survive. Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, save me from Esav. Ki yarei anochi, and now he says it again. Pen yavo vihikani eim habanim. That lest he comes and kills mothers and children together. So what Yaakov, and again, all of this, considering where we are right now, is all very, very frightening. And but Yaakov is very clear. But then again, he turns around to what God had promised. And all of this is the promise that took place by the ladder. That's when God spoke to him by the Sulam. And you said everything's going to be good. You said that there are going to be so many of us that one we can't even be counted. So essentially, Yaakov over here, I'm going to say it again, he articulates, you know, this interaction with Esav, where he is on the one hand trying to disassociate himself from the bracha, on the other hand, it sounds like he's not. So that's, you know, a little strange. But then theoretically, Esav is going to come upon him very soon and see what he has. So him giving some to Esav right now sounds like it's a strategic plan in order to preemptively give Esav some of the things, give Esav the honor, and give him some of the things as well. But he turns to God in prayer saying, but you said you're going to protect me. But Yaakov's fear is articulated a couple of times that he's afraid that they will be killed. And that's why he separates. And that's why that's part of the prayer as well. You look at this number two in the Seichel Tov, it says, V'yihili b'maskorti, v'lo b'shvil b'rchot sh'brchani avi. So he understands the difficulty of what we just now read, that Esav could be looking at all this and saying that you all the stuff you're giving me should have been mine in the first place. It's like you're rubbing Esav's face in it. So he's saying, no, and I hope you're with me on this, that this is not such an easy commentary. No, all this I got out of my wages because I worked so hard, and not because of the bracha. And then it goes into little nuances about the bracha. You have to be medayik. The bracha said this, and it didn't say this, and therefore this couldn't be from the bracha. So I hope you realize that he's working hard. But my point is not if his solution is satisfactory or you find it satisfying. My point is that there's a problem. The problem is that, you know, how do you deal with Esav? And by showing him all the stuff that you have, is that really the right thing? And in 3 and 4 is the Tarikum Yonatan. Umikol Masha Birech Oti Avi Abba. So now you realize, what pasuk is this? This is Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Vav. So go back and look at the pasuk. Vayili Shorvecha Marvitzon Eved Veshivcha. So what did I say bothered me about that? Isn't that, you know, the bracha? So now you see that on the one hand, the Seichel Tov, no, it's not in the bracha, it's something else. On the other hand, in the Keter Yonatan, Targum Yonatan, right? So Makol Mashi Birech Oti Avi Ein Bedi Ella Hayuli Kimat Shvarim V'Chamarim Tzon. No, I didn't get as much as the bracha should have been. Shelo Hanali B'Brachahi. I did not really benefit. I did not get benefit from that particular bracha. So again, it's interesting because he realizes, you know, that I don't want to say the elephant in the room, the Shor V'Chamor in the room. He realizes that this is difficult. That Yaakov is bringing this up when this exactly could be the thing that could get Esav upset. When you look at Rashi in 5, you see that Rashi also is trying to disassociate, kind of like what we saw before the Medrash, Yili Shor V'Chamor, Abba Marli, Mital Shamayim, B'Shmanei Aretz. Ze Ein Olam Ena Shamayim V'Olam Ena Aretz. You know, all this is just kind of incidental, and this is not really. And then he throws in at the end, and I sent a message to you, Lohodia Shani Ba'ilecha. And that's why I sent the message, let you know I'm coming home. Let's have this reunion. Lim Tzochein Meinecha, Shani Shalem Imcha Mavakesh Avatcha. Yaakov is saying, going to Rashi, I have nothing in my heart against you. I'm just looking for your love and brotherhood. So again, you realize that all this is interesting because one could have read this somewhat different, and we're not sure why not to. You see, the Radak goes in that same direction. The Bechor Shor also goes in this direction of a Chamor, but he ends up with Lo alachti b'nei shum sinah v'lo yadati b'neinu rak avat v'reyut. I didn't go because I had anything against you. I mean, you haven't hurt me. You're my brother. You haven't hurt for me for a long time. I only have love and brotherhood for you, and so on. So again, you know, you can you could fix up the narrative, you know, as much as we want, But nonetheless, the things that are staring at us. There's an interesting turn of phrase that he has, that the mothers shouldn't be killed with the children and the children with the mothers. So that, and I mentioned this a couple months ago, that this does remind us of the mitzvah of Shluch HaKenan, source number 8, Shlach Tishlach HaTa'im V'Tabanim Tikach Lach. In the Medrash Rabbah, it says, Ben Yavov HaKeni Eim Albanim. It just brings it right together, just like we had sensed. Vata Marta Lo Tikach Eim Albanim. And God, this goes against your moral Torah, because you said that we are not allowed to take the mother and the eggs together and the birds together. We can't do this. So how can you let us be killed together, which goes again back to speaks absolutely to the fear. And then it says, Penya Bovi Kani Ema Banum Vata Marta, Vishur Visel, Tovet Banolo, Tishkat Biyamachat. You gave us a rule that we're not allowed to kill a mother when it comes to animals. You can't kill the mother and the child in the same day. How can you let us die in this particular way? Which is really a plea and a prayer of desperation. But it's interesting that in this midrashic tone that it gives to the Yaakov's voice, it's saying is that this would be immoral on your part, that you can't let us die this way. But they can't die. That the text itself said he can't let us die because you made a promise. And we then get to this point that Yaakov and Sarah Shel Esav have their struggle. And Yaakov, and the key word here is they wrestle. V'yavek. It's wrestling. It causes the dirt to rise up, the avak to rise up. And then again, he hurts. But you got bekaf yericho. Yaakov's inner thigh is hurt. Kacherik Yaakov bavakeimo when he wrestles. And at the end, we're told kisarita im Elohim or Elohim v'manashim betuchal. Nonetheless, we're told that Yaakov is victorious against people, against Elohim, whatever it means in this context, Batuchal Yaakov is victorious. And at the end, we get this whole thing about the Gid Hanasha. The Gid Hanasha creates a situation where there's all kinds of meat that in America you can't eat because you don't have Yemenites to go and to take out the Gid Hanasha while they are very available over here. My Yemenite Mechutin said that when they were kids, living on the Moshav, all the kids know how to take out the Gid Hanasha. It was one of the things that all the Yemenite kids knew how to do. He says he hasn't done it in 50 years, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do. But the butcher I go to has somebody that does it. So now, to remind you about the adversary, we have the wonderful pasuk in Hosea, Bibetin Akavet Achiv, Uva Ono Sarat Elohim. In utero, he struggled. Or Akav is interesting here, because there he's grabbing onto the ankle of his brother, but this is a wonderful play on words. Bebeten Akav et Achiv, it sounds like he passed by his brother. It sounds like the struggle that went by Yaakov was victorious. Uva Ono, but when he was of strength, when he grew up, Sarah et Elohim, then he battles with this force, this power, but continue to the next pasuk, Vayasar El Malach Vayuchal. And he was victorious over the angel. So, by the way, that's better than any medrash, because here you have a pasuk in Hosea that's telling you that's shot and what happened. V'yachol, again, he was victorious. Bacha v'itchanen lo. And then the angel started crying and begged him to let him go. Which also, as I said, is a great interpretation of what went on, because who was saying, I got to move? So here, Yaakov beat up an angel. That's great. And I'll say it again. In the story begins when Yaakov leaves Eretz Yisrael, and then he sees these angels going up and coming down. And over here, when he comes back, he has this more interaction with various angels. And here's an angel that apparently wants to go back up. But it's not simple. Yitchanein lo beit el, yimtza'eu v'shem deberimo. So we're going to leave it at that. And this phrase of Yerech Yaakov, right, he hurt his thigh. So I took it right away the way that the Chumash takes it, and that is to the Gid Hanasha, right? That part of the animal that we can't eat. Alkein lo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael to Gid Hanasha, shel kafa Yerech, ad yom hazeh. Right, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Kinagabakal Cherech Yaakov Gid Hanasha, because Yaakov's Gid Hanasha was injured. And every year I say the same thing. What is it? Everybody remember? I said Baruch Hashem, he didn't break a rib. I say that every year, so that because that would be catastrophic. Anyway, yes, I appreciate those who appreciate this. So there you go. Now you got a Dvar Torah to stay by the table, and maybe something what to cook. Vayihi, look at now source number 12. and you see an interesting use of the word of the Yerech Yaakov. Vayihi kol nefesh yotzei Yerech Yaakov shivin nefesh. Which means it took the Yerech Yaakov straight to this concept, which is much more in terms, I don't want to use the word sexuality, but I do want to use the word, which we use instead, progeny. That the Yerech Yaakov is progeny, which you say, okay, as even though I don't want to say sexuality, there may be some kind of a correlation over there that you need some sexuality in order to get to progeny. And but the point of the Yerech Yaakov is what the way that it's understanding it is that it's understanding it in terms of it's understanding it in terms of Yaakov's having children, and therefore Yaakov's inner thigh being hurt, the part that is again, remember when the Eved goes on a mission from Avram to find a shidduch for Yitzchak, it says Simno Yodcha Tachet Yerechi. And there Rashi tells us, the Medrash tells us, that's where that's where Avram had the Brit Milah. The Brit Milah was by the Yerech. So over here, again, it's using slight, what you call Lashon Nekiyah. It doesn't want to spell it out. So over here, the Yaakov's Yerech gets hurt. So later on, Yerech Yaakov is the children. So the Medrash also goes in a similar direction. Yigah B'kach Yerecho, source 13. Noga B'tzadikim B'tzad Tzadikot b'neviyim v'neviyot shehin atidin lamod mimenu ve'eze zeze doroshel shmad. That this talks about during times of persecution when even righteous people are being killed by and again that was Yaakov's thigh being hurt. It's the progeny being hurt. Sometimes even righteous progeny being hurt based upon the timing and based upon the persecutions and so on. So I'm going to leave it that for a second, but I do want to tie it up to what we've already seen. Yaakov already had articulated that we can get wiped out, which means there won't be a continuity, there won't be progeny, the people will be killed. And he seems to say this multiple times along the way here, including Ha'em al-Banim, including when he says, just if you want to go back and we can see this, V'hi kahu, V'hi keni Ha'em al-Banim, Yaakov is saying we're going to be killed. There's going to be people killed. Yaakov's children will be killed. There will be no continuity. There won't be progeny. So yeah, I think Yaakov's being very clear over here on what his concerns are. And now you see the various midrashim picking up on that in various ways. And again, the text itself, understanding what is this Yerech Yaakov that's hurt. So as much as Yaakov is concerned while, you know, during daylight about what could happen now, and then he has this, in the middle of the night, he has this, I don't know, how do you want to call it? I mean, if it's an angel appearing to Yaakov, I would actually call it an epiphany, even though that would not necessarily be the word that you want to use. But something significant happens over here during this episode. And as much as Yaakov's, again, I always, you know, would say that this is very dreamlike, this whole episode. And I think the Rambam and the Nevuchim would go in that direction as well. There's something very dreamlike. So then you could tell me, so what do you dream about? You dream about what you're worried about during the day. What is Yaakov worried about during the day? He's worried that they're going to be all killed. So what happens? So then his thigh, his upper inner thigh gets hurt. So that is understood very much as Yerech Yaakov is the children, the progeny, and so on. And that leaves some kind of an imprint of a Roshem or some kind of damage moving forward. Yaakov's concern about being killed is actually articulated a little bit further in the same parsha after this episode, and that's in source 14, and that is after the whole episode of Shimon and Levi going to Shechem. But Yom Yaakov Shimon v'Levi acharitim oti lahav isheni biyoshev haaretz bekanani v'frizi v'ani mitei mispar v'nesfu alai v'hikuni v'nishmarati ani uveiti. Which means this fear that Yaakov has that we're small in number, are going to be killed, we're vulnerable. It's the vulnerability. That's the issue. That Yaakov is articulating the vulnerability. That seems to be the constant going on. And that's my point. That even after the Esav episode comes to an end, Yaakov hasn't finished with this. So I just want to now wrap this part up. I'm not finished. There's another side to all this I want to get to. And Yaakov's fear, his fear is being killed. His prayer is that God, when he said, I'll protect you, God really will protect him. He's afraid that Esav and his 400 mercenaries are going to come and kill all of them. He's afraid that that's it. This is the end of the Yaakov dream. And and all the blessings that he took and the firstborn that he took and so on. None of this is going to help because the story is about to come to an end. Okay. I want to go backwards now to Perek Lamed, to chapter 30. This is source number 15. Vatera Rachel kilo yilda. Now, Yaakov. Now, the only thing so far that you can tell me that this has in contact or in connection with what we were reading about now is that there is a concern about children. Of course, you'll tell me now it's very, very different, because Yaakov's concerned about the children that already exist are going to die, and Rachel's concerned about the children that don't exist because they haven't been born. Okay, so far, that's the link. It's the children. Vatera Rachel ki lo yelda Yaakov, vatikane Rachel ba'achota. And Rachel was jealous of her sister has children. Vatomo Yaakov, and she says to Yaakov, havali banim, v'mayin meit anochi. So we discussed this a little bit last week. We compared her to when Yitzchak does pray for Rivka and she gets pregnant, which is how Yaakov comes into the world in the first place. And instead, Yaakov's response here is, v'yichar af Yaakov b'Rachel, he gets upset, v'yomar atachet elokim anochi. Hashem anami mech pribaten. Am I the one? Am I God? Am I the one who took away from you the ability? And by the way, noticed over here, so in the previous episode, which again, right now at face value, has nothing at all to do with this, we did have Yaakov struggling, you know, with Elohim and Anashim Vatuchel, and over here Yaakov is struggling with his wife, and says, Atachet Elohim, and he uses the same word, which again, you can tell me is completely unimpressive and uninteresting. But Tomer, Hine amati Bilha boile. So he says here, Bilha is over here. Please take Bilha. Batelet al birkai. By the way, that's now interesting. The berach is interesting. Al birkai. Berach, of course, is the same letters as bracha, as bachor, right? Al birkai. V'ibane gamanochi mimena. So she's essentially saying that I will have a surrogate child, but a surrogate child in the old in sense, that her giving birth, I will have a child. I will have a child to raise. Vatitin lo et Bilha shivchata leisha v'yavo ela Yaakov. And as a result of this, Yaakov agrees, and then Yaakov is together with Bilha. Vatahar Bilha v'telet the Yaakov ben. And now Yaakov is another child. So again, what we were troubled with in this week's parasha, and Yaakov is troubled with, is about his children disappearing, and over here we have the inverse, and that is children appearing. Vatomer Rachel danani Elokim, right? God is judged. Vagam shamar bekoli, and God listened to my voice. And just interesting again with the whole kol Yaakov in the background, and Yaakov refused to use his kol. Yaakov refused to pray, right? Don't we say that the kol Yaakov is a kol of tefillah, kol of learning, and Yaakov doesn't want to pray. He does want to use his voice. Vagam shamar bekoli. She goes, no, God listened to my prayers. But yitain li ben, and she sees this, that I have a son. Alken kara shemo dan. Vatar od v'telet bila shifchat Rachel ben sheni li Yaakov. Another son, Vatoma Rachel, Naftulei Elohim, Naftalti, Imachoti, Gam Yocholti, Vatikoshmo Naftali. I just have one question. What in the world do these words mean? Naftulei Elohim, Niftalti imachoti gam yacholti. So, one translation right here, which I gave to you, it says, Rachel said, mighty struggles have I struggled with my sister and have also prevailed. And she named him Naftali, which therefore would indicate this struggle. So, why is that interesting? It's because over here, she is not articulating the problem in terms of her own fertility, per se. She's not putting the problem in terms even of her and her husband. She is framing this in terms of her and her sister, which is that point about her sister and her jealousy is interesting. But she says, I've struggled with my sister. I've also prevailed. Now, notice, first of all, the word gam yocholti. And I prevailed. I don't know how far back I have to go to show you that was used a couple of times already. if you will, go back in sequence going backwards, we could note where was the, well, we could note when it says that Yaakov, just 1 second, didn't want to go that far back. Yeah. Then if you look at 11 again in Hosea, it says, it uses the term v'yasar et malach v'yuchal. If you go look back in Pasuk Kaf Tet in Source 10, where it says, kisarita im Elohim v'im anashim v'tuchal. Over here, of course, it's very different because it's v'yavek, v'hitavek, v'hevako. You have a wrestling taking place. Of course, I'm going to ask you, so what is the difference between wrestling and struggling? And we'll give me a second, and we'll see something interesting. On the other hand, the Targum in Source 16, for Marta Rachel, Kabel be'uti Hashem be'itchananuti b'tzuluti. If you want the English, if you like that better. Rachel said, God accepted my request. It's essentially looking at the word Naphtali and is seeing somehow tefillah inside that word. I know you could tell me the letters are a little inverted, but it understands that she pleaded. Be'itchananuti, b'tzaluti, and as I prayed, that God accepted my prayers. And Rachel said, God accepted my request. When I pleaded in prayer, I desired that I would have offspring like my sister. It had to get the sister back in there. Why? Because it says, Naftulti, im achoti, gam yocholti. And she said, because offspring like sister, and it was also given to me. She therefore called his name Naphtali. So essentially, you have one way of reading it, which is 16, the Unculus telling you the whole thing has to do with with Rachel's praying. And the other, which is the Kol Rachel, which is into Gam Shemak Bikoli. And the other way of looking at it is that, no, I've struggled, but now let's take a look. Rashi writes, first of all, he says, from Menachem ben Saruk, he says, Pirish b'michab brot, means that the chiburim, tzemet p'til, chiburim, mi'et makom, nitchabarti imachoti l'schut labanim. Now that is so interesting. By the way, Rashi moves away from that. I don't want to move away from that so quickly. Because what is he suggesting? That together with my sister, look what we did. You know, as much as we read it a moment ago as a struggle, but the struggle would sound like it was the two of them, and especially if I suggest that somehow this may be similar to Yaakov. Okay, Yaakov struggles with Esav in utero. Yaakov struggles with the Saroshal Esav. Yaakov is afraid of Esav and his 400 henchmen. But over here, what Menachem ben Saruk is suggesting is that it means, no, we work together. Samid Petil. It's a group effort. Chiburim, together. United. Together we worked on something which was holy in order to bring children. That I worked very hard, and this goes back towards prayer, and I struggled in order with God, which is interesting, in order to try to become my sister's equal. God agreed. For uncle is Gam Lashon Tfila. And then he mentions that other approach, Kamon Tilokim, Nitzpalalti Bakashot Achivivot Lefanav, Nitzkabalti Binaatarti Kaachoti. So it implies, by the way, that Leah had also prayed. Leah prays, so now I had to pray, and now it became my sister's equal. The Source 18 is not going to be so simple. The Tomer, this is Breshit Rabbah, the Tomer Rachel, Naftule Elokim, Niftalti, Nufti, Ptiti, Taliti, Achoti Alai. Rav Yochanan, Ninfa, Hayali, La'asot, Lufnei, Achoti. So what does the word Ninfa mean? So the answer is that you have absolutely no idea what Ninfa means, correct? And that's because it's not Hebrew. So I have over here in front of me, I don't know if you can see, I have an edition of Bereshit Rabbah, which I'm very happy I bought years and years ago, that has an explanation of the various Midrashim. So over here, I'm going to read a little bit from the commentary. So we are in Chet. I'm just to see exactly where we are. Naftali, Lokim, Naftali, Nafti, Petiti, Talti. Okay, so it says as follows. Imachoti, Gam Yacholti, Vitakosh, Naftali, Upshuto, Hitchazakti, Bema, Vaki, Lahaflig, Bahaftsarot, Vitfilot, Lefnelokim, Kadeshi, Sigul, Gia, Liot, Be Erech, Shav, Vitomea, Lachoti. That she had to really work to get to the same spiritual level as her sister. The Gamma Marati Bekach, Vayiti Gamma, Aim, Ani, Laim, Banim bebeit Yaakov, and then he writes in parenthetically, "Al pi kol ha-targumim u-mefreshim she'ein chelek b'neim elu b'mashbot p'tal u-v'derech remez drush naftuli naftolti and so on sirf milim nafot pato talo." By the way, those are the words we didn't know what they meant. He writes nofti, and he tells you to look in Mishlei Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Zayin, "Nafti mishkavei mor o'alim b'kinamon." Hayiti mikushetet umivusemet, that I would put on all kinds of beautiful clothing and perfume, umashkeya kfar mivusam umuchan, and so on, to be with Yaakov. Then he continues and he explains a little bit more, and I'll just say in the footnote here, he explains that this phrase is actually Greek, and it's from the word nymph, meaning a goddess, or a semi-goddess, as it were, or a beautiful young woman, nofti, right? That's the word, nofti, patiti, taliti, achoti, alai, and therefore I try to make myself as attractive as I possibly could to Yaakov. But again, I want to read a little bit further. That was just to understand the words a little bit. Ilo shalachti marti lo ten da'atcha shehin maramim b'cha loya poresh, elo marti im ein ani kadaishi b'neha ulami meni yibaneh mi'achoti. So what's he saying in this midrash? He say it goes back to that point that Menachem ben Sirach was that we work together, and she said she understood that she couldn't have children, and Yaakov needs to have children. The family of Avram, the family of Yitzchak, needs to continue, and she said therefore I worked in order to bring the two of them together. Ella amarti im ein ani kedai shi baneha olam mimeni yibanema achoti. So therefore it's going to be necessary for Yaakov to be with my sister. Dover acher naftuli. And should we read any more, or that's enough for right now? But essentially what this is saying is that part of her argument is, look how much I was concerned. Again, together, we made sure that Yaakov will have children. What's my point so far? I'm going to say it a little bit clearer as we move on, is that when we're reading in this week's parasha about Yaakov's struggle taking place, and the general theme is that Yaakov is concerned that all of his children are going to disappear, as will he, and therefore, quote-unquote, the Jewish people come to an end, what we have is Rachel articulating almost the exact opposite. If you look at, look at the Midrash in Agadah, source 19. V'yesh omrim ke'in tefilat palalti l'vnei Kadosh Baruch Hu liyot im achoti v'gam yacholti, to be together with my sister. So again, this may be a little different that I want to be like her, but let's continue. Source 20 goes along the same, like the midrash that we saw. It's that I fooled him. Kloma b'shashech niso et leya lebali rimu et bali keilu rimu dat shamala v'gam yecholti yit yechola la lahudia lo liyakov kikein heim usim ava laretziti levzot et achoti. And therefore, she's going back to that point that I wanted, you know, I didn't want to embarrass my sister, and I worked together with my sister, which means, again, we never were told what happened that night when Lavan goes and tells Leah to go instead of Rachel. All these midrashim, and you know there are more of them, all these midrashim are saying that Rachel's turning to God and saying, you know, I worked together with my sister to bring these children. If you look at source number 21, Chazakim dolim nitchazakti machoti ka'adam hanitpas im chavero umitchazek imo lerot mi yachol mi chavero mi apilot chavero umesayim umesovvim zedzen. Now this is really interesting because everything is in this part except for one word. It says that we struggled to see who is stronger. By the way, there's another way of saying that. What's the other way of saying that? We wrestled. Look at the Ibn Ezra in source 22. Naftuli, shame mi binyan nifal, v'ta'amo ke'adam she'ya'avek im acher, v'yuftal l'natzeach oto k'dei l'hapilo. So, and by the way, I just have to stop for a second and make an observation. You see right in front of you that there are Rishonim who say that what Rachel and Leah are doing in this verse is they're wrestling with one another. If you want one more, you look at the Rav Avraham ben Harambam in 23. Vatomer Rachel Naftuah Elokim, Amar ben Ezra, Zal Shu Neged right Nefila, and then he quote that he tells you what it is in Arabic. Shalamin hit avkut. Again, quoting him directly, and then he goes and he says a little bit more about it, about the hitavkut. And if you go on, there's more and more people who say this, which to me is actually shocking, that I didn't see anybody who then draws this comparison and says, hold it a second. Yaakov is wrestling, and you know, right over there with this Sarah Shel Esav, and over here Rachel is struggling or wrestling together with Leah. So, what in the world is happening, or what is the connection between these two, or what is this trying to say to us? And it's at this point that we're stuck because I didn't find anybody saying it. To me, it was just so obvious that now you just have to take one more step and say, okay, or interpret what is the message over here. But at least I want you to see that there's a parallel, because it wasn't just the Elohim in both sources, and it wasn't just the Vayuchal or Vatuchal in the same sources. It was this other suggestion that there is in the word Naphtali, that there was this struggle taking place, which a number of Rishonim say, yeah, they were wrestling with one another. But again, there is this other way of looking at it when it comes to the two sisters, which again takes us to this possible inverse. I've said a number of times that it always strikes me that Yaakov, when he wakes up in the morning and realizes that it's Leah, that he doesn't just run away and say, these people are absolutely crazy and I should not stay here for another second. They're insane. And instead, this idea struck me that Yaakov may be looking and saying, well, this is unbelievable that two siblings can care so much about one another that one can step aside and put the other one in their place. And I just came from this dysfunctional family where one sibling wants to kill the other sibling, and that's why I had to run away. And look how these two sisters get along with one another. So now we get to this point about Rachel saying, no, I want a child also. I want a child. So is this, again, she's jealous, and therefore, what exactly is she doing? Are they working together? Or are they working separately? Are they struggling with one another, or are they struggling with one another? I'm going to say it again. Are they struggling against one another, or are they struggling with one another in order to try to build something which is bigger? So what may be, and by the way, if that's the case, if they're with one another, then we have just a complete inverse which is taking place. I'm going to say this a number of times, where Yaakov's whole concern is about the children disappearing and all the future disappearing, where over here you have somebody else who's concerned about building that future. And let's make sure that Am Yisrael is going to grow. They make sure that you know, God says you're going to be as numerous as, okay, you know what it means to become as numerous as the sand? It means a lot of people got to get pregnant and a lot of people got to carry children. It doesn't just happen by itself. I don't know if half the people over here listening don't realize that. The other half, I think, do realize that it doesn't just happen by itself. There's people that have to make it happen. And it's just very interesting now to think about how the concern of Yaakov over here is the same concern of Rachel over there, but it's, again, just a complete inverse over here. So I'm going to say it again. How exactly are we reading this? There is this attempt or desire to read it that they're wrestling with one another, but I'm going to say it again. Is that what it means, or are they actually struggling together? So I want to show you a couple of more sources now that you'll see will just, you know, naturally they just think it has to go this other way. Source 24 is one of the Baalei Tosfot. Now notice something. It's the word Elokim which is interesting, because the struggle over here is a struggle with the divine. There's God in this struggle. I've struggled with God. What does it mean to struggle with God? I've wrestled with God. So as much as you could say, oh, Yaakov was wrestling with God, wrestling with man, wrestling with God, struggling with man, struggling. But that's exactly what Rachel is saying here. That's the name Naphtali. Vimte mahu gam yocholti. Yes, you know, to be victorious. Va'omer mori harav Yosef Kohenzal shashama. I think it's a perish of the Pasuk of the Kra. By the way, the Rush brings the same commentary. Naftuli Elokim Chibur Nitchabarti. Again, that's what we saw Rashi quoting, Imachoti. But he explains it more. Misha Shanole Dan. Why? She Eliyahav ben Achisamach Lamate Dan Nitasek ben Melechet HaMishkan Kmo Betzal Shoya Mizar'a. That the building of the Mishkan, is a divine merger between the children of Leah and Rachel. Bitzalel coming from Yehuda, coming from Leah, and Dan, who now comes from Bilha, and he only came into the world because of Rachel's insistence. It's as if to say, I've struggled with the divine to create something divine, and that would seem to be, if Rachel were still alive, to know, oh yeah, by the way, your experiment worked out very well, because this son of Bilha merged together with a son of Leah, and they built together the Mishkan, then she would be absolutely delighted. And that's exactly the way that he's reading it. And then he says, and moreover, v'gam yecholti, what does that mean? Yoter mimena, to be beit olamim, when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash, lo haya shem mizara livnot habayit, there's no descendants there of Yehuda who build it, although you could say Shlomo, but it's interesting, it ignores that. So therefore, these children of Bilha end up building the Mishkan and then end up building the Beit HaMikdash, which is the way that he wants to read this success of this experiment as far as Rachel is concerned, and that's what she's praying for. We'll go a little bit further. That's the Kenan Balei Tosfot. Kimo Naftali Klomer Tsar Gadol Savalti Im Achoti, for Tsarti Koach Lisbol Yecholti Ad Ata. I've practiced restraint and self control until this point in order for my sister to have what she has. And then he continues and he talks about Bezalel and so on. The Sfarno as well. He sees this, the Tzamid Petil, the Naftali is the Petil. It's this thing which is woven together. Chiburim Elokim Vishel Ketusha. Naftali Elokim Naftalti. It is this divine Chibur taking place. Vishel Ketusha et Chabarti Leba'ali. Im Achoti. Vizot Asiti Yachtav Im Achoti Shehichnasnu et tzorotenu leveitenu yachtav lamid shvatim. And she's saying, both me and Leah, we brought in more women into the family, this is Bilha and Zilpah, in order to bring children to create Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael doesn't get created by itself. Ki amnam echnisa Leah et Zilpah liyakov beachrach kodim shir yolad Naftali. And that's of less in importance to me, but she's saying again, Gam Yacholti, in the end, his sakti mashiratziti binyan misirat shifchati leba'ali. Rav Hirsch will go back to this language of the struggle, of the hitavkut, the ma'avak, hitavkut naftali elokim, hitavkut elokit, ma'avak she'en litvayesh b'matarotav. It's a divine struggle. Amatarot elokiyut etavakti im achoti. Laman uchal gam ani leteta trumati libeinenu haruchani shel beitenu. That I was concerned with building the spiritual aspects of this home. Davrize hochachti kasher natati et shifchati leba'ali. Laman eske begvulot kochati. And that's proven when she gives over Bilha, because I did all I can that we can build up this family and therefore by extension build Klal Yisrael. And she said, this will be a surrogate child because I need to give my capabilities as well in order to help build this people. And the Netziv goes in the same direction. Gam Yecholti Bashir Leah. Amdami ledet, when Leah stopped having children, Ubila halotuchal leledet harbe v'titrabe b'banim. So essentially, Rachel is at that point. Yaakov needs more children, right? God said, God, I'm adding this in. God said there's going to be as numerous as the sand. So therefore, we need to continue. Okay. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman also goes in the direction of the struggling and so on, and I think we'll... So he gives this other side read to this, that even though Yaakov may have loved Rachel more, it looked like God loved Leah more. And now when it emerges that Rachel's plan is coming to fruition and Bilha, Zilpah are having children, so now, and eventually Rachel as well, so now it seems that God loves her as well. I'm going to read just a couple of more things, and then we'll stop. In the Medrash Rabbah, in source 31, B'yom HaTshi'i, Nasi Levnei Binyamin, Avidan Ben Gidoni, Lama Hikriv Binyamin Achar Bnei Yosef, the sequence of the Nisiyim, it's Bnei Yosef and then Binyamin, Lefi Shekishem Shahita Hashchina B'chalkol Shel Yosef B'shilo, Kach Sharta B'chelik Shel Binyamin B'mikdash B'Yerushalayim. So now we've left Bilhah's children, we've gone to Rachel's children, and it says that God's house is in the portion of Yosef by Shiloh, and afterwards in Binyamin in Yerushalayim, which means the house of God ends up in the portion of Rachel. That's important. And it continues, and it says, Davar Acher, right, Lefnei Ephraim Binyamin Menashe Ora Et Gvuratecha Lachal Yishvotcha Lanu Korbano Ka'arat Kesef Achat Al Tikri Ka'arat Ela Akeret. Now, in order to switch Ka'arat with Akeret, it's the same letters, you just have to inverse the sequence of the first two letters. Akeret kineged Rachel shahaita Akeret habayit. Hi haita ikar beito shel Yaakov. Shenema b'nei Rachel eshet Yaakov Yosef b'nimim va'omer mita alai Rachel. Now, I just want to put the two parts of this midrash together and point out something which is obvious. One is it calls Rachel the real wife, the primary wife. And of course, Leah or B'nai Leah can argue with that. But this midrash identifies the Akeret Habayit. But it says it in two different ways. One is it says it in terms of the Kedusha, in terms of the Beit HaMikdash, in terms of the Mishkan, that she was the one, she was the Akeret Habayit. Her children are the ones where the Beit HaMikdash stands. That's Binyamin, and that is B'nai Yosef. On the other hand, it talks about the relationship with Yaakov, that she is the real wife, the Akeret Habayit. Now, we keep in mind in the back of all of this, when Yaakov did run away, and when Yaakov did have this epiphany, and he does see the Sulam, and he does say, I'm going to build a Bayit LaHashem. So I don't know if we ever imagine that Bayit LaHashem is, you know, Yaakov, does he build a Bayit LaHashem? The Bayit LaHashem is eventually going to be built, but whose family is going to take responsibility, or whose portion will it be built on? If a Bayit from Hashem is going to be built, then it needs to be built by the place of Rachel, because she's the Akeret Habayit. But it's interesting because it just took this in a slightly different way. And I know that you can start arguing with me and say, no, the Beit HaMikdash was really by Yehuda, but no, it was by Binyamin. Yes, it's connected to Yehuda, which is exactly the point, that it becomes a place of chibur, it becomes a place of unity. That's exactly the point, is that unity takes place. And that's what it said earlier about Bezalel together with one of the children of Bilhah. The Al-Sheikh over here tells us to, in source 32, to go and to keep in mind of this midrash, which I didn't quote for you, but it's the midrash that maybe some of us should have been thinking of. It's the midrash which is the beginning of Eicha Rabbati, which talks about during the time of the Chorban, where it's Rachel who's Mevakeh al Baneha. Now, the people that are leaving are not necessarily the children of Rachel. That's what's so important over here. It's not that Rachel is crying for her biological children. She's crying for Klal Yisrael, which means, you know, some people would say Mama Rachel, right? Or Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu becomes the mother of all of Klal Yisrael. She is the Akeret Habayit. She is the mother. And all the children look to her. And people who go to pray by Kever Rachel, assuming it's Kever Rachel, we won't debate that. But people go to pray there, they don't go and they start thinking, well, is she really, am I really from that tribe or not from that tribe? No. Rachel becomes this figure who is the mother of Klal Yisrael. I mean, that's exactly what the Midrash was saying, but in back before in terms of the Akeret Habayit. But this Midrash says that when all the other arguments didn't work, Rachel is the one who stands up to God during the time of the Chorban, when that Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and she turns up and she starts crying and says, listen, you know, I don't know why you're jealous of idolatry. I wasn't jealous of my own sister. And I did whatever I could do to bring Klal Yisrael together, and look what you're doing to destroy Klal Yisrael. And essentially God responds and says that in your merit, I'm going to bring them back. But again, if Sinat Chinam is what destroys the Beit HaMikdash, it's Rachel over here. There is this chibur. And by the way, you can notice here in this Al-Shech, you can just scan how many times the word kach nitchabarti imachoti, shenitchabarti imachoti, ki chiburei elokim shenitchaber sham, dugma zesha, which means shenavtulte venitchabarti imachoti, that he understands this whole thing of Rachel and Leah really working together, and this kind of struggle would, and here's the, of course the whole verses in Yirmiyahu, where kol barama nishma, Rachel mevakeh al baneho, eiza baneho. It's all of Klal Yisrael. Because these are her children. Because she is the Akeret Abayit. Because she is the one who created all of these children to take place. She is the one who facilitated Leah to be with Yaakov, and therefore Leah's children. She's the one who brought Bilhah's children in. In terms of the arms race that took place, then she's the one who caused Leah to respond by bringing Zilpah into it, which is, she is the Akeret Habayit. She's the one who goes and takes it upon herself to create Klal Yisrael. And by the way, at the very end over here, I did run a scan and to do a comparison between the whole section here with Naftali and Rachel together with Yaakov's struggle. So you can look at the color-coded afterwards if this interests anyone. I sent you out the sources, including this page, but I do want to move much more towards the conclusion. What I've discerned over here is that the language between the birth of Naftali together with this implied struggle which is taking place and this victory, this batuchal, and then the struggle that takes place in Yaakov, and the fear, and then the yerach of Yaakov being hurt, and the children are all going to disappear, seem to be two sides of the same coin. But they seem to be this fear that Yaakov has of all the children disappearing, and then the concern that Rachel has with bringing all these children into the world. Which means that Yaakov is worried about Am Yisrael is not going to continue, and Rachel is worried that Am Yisrael is never going to start. And what we have over here is Yaakov then struggles, but Rachel also struggles. And what I see over here, again, I'm afraid to say mirror images of one another, but I see, especially if you read this the way that the Alshach and others wanted to read this, that Rachel and Leah are working together, that this is a struggle that they're working together, as opposed, again, are they struggling with one another in terms of they are helping one another in a common struggle, or are they struggling one against the other? And again, I'll say you can read it two ways, but if you go back and look at the sources that I brought, you'll see some are reading it one way and some the other. And that's right away with Rashi. He was telling you, oh, you can read it like this, a chibur, or you can read it in the other way. And that's what becomes so interesting over here, is that, again, I didn't see absolutely anyone who then said, hold it, like the Ibn Ezra. This means let Avek. Don't we have Yaakov being mitavek afterwards with the power of his brother, and she's being mitaveket, and she's wrestling with the power of her sister? Nobody does this. I don't even begin to know what to say. Nobody brings these two together. So no, it's compassion by the earlier authorities who were concerned that I would have nothing to say, which would be original. And it could be, by the way, if someone's going to come and say, oh, I was looking and I found it, and somebody says it, I'm not going to be surprised, because somebody has to say this. What do you mean nobody says this? They have to say this. But the issue is not so much the connection. To me, it's clear that they're connected. The question is the nuance of how you put them together. But what you have then is, again, if you look at this larger picture, especially where the Alshach goes and takes it to that Medrash and Eicha, and then it takes it all the way, the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, that you have Rachel being concerned that Am Yisrael is going to exist, and then you have Yaakov being concerned what's going to happen, because we could, during times of attack, we could disappear. And then when the worst does happen, and the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and Am Yisrael does get carried away, then it's Rachel once again. That's the point. It's not Rachel for the first time doing it. It's Rachel once again coming back and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you kidding me? What are you doing? What are you talking about? Am Yisrael has to continue. Where are you carrying them to? And the Beit HaMikdash has to continue. And we have, and this is the Akeret Habayit, which means she is the true Akeret Habayit, and she absolutely refuses to accept a possibility of that Bayit not being complete, of that family not being complete, of that nation not being complete. And if you're the Akeret Habayit, you're the one who's in charge of the family, you want to make sure everybody gets along together. Because that's what it really means to be the mother in the family. You want to make sure that everybody gets together. And once you understand that's really who Rachel is, so of course she gets along with Bilhah, and she gets along with Zilpah, and she gets along with Leah. And she's concerned about Leah, and she's concerned about Bilhah, and she's concerned about Zilpah. She's concerned about all of these people, and she's concerned even more about all of the children, because that's what mothers are concerned about. And Rachel is the Ikaret HaBayit. So now you see that once you stretch this a little bit broader, and that is seems to be what Chazal understand, and it's exactly what they understand. I just added one more element to it. I said, that's the struggle which is taking place even before we started this whole story. This is the one who puts it together. This is the one who builds the home. And that is Rachel. So I think that all of Yaakov's concerns over here, we understand his concerns. But Rachel had similar concerns before any of this happened to help Klal Yisrael to come into existence. And then she has these concerns after we run into some trouble to make sure that God is going to keep his word, he's going to keep the covenant, he's going to protect us, and Am Yisrael is going to continue. And this concept of this people, right? Every family has a mother, and that mother is Rachel, and Rachel's going to make sure that that the people are going to continue and God is going to keep his word. And as they say, Am Yisrael Chai. Od Avinu Chai. That's it. I'm done. We have comments here. Is Gidnash connected to the name Menashe? Maybe. Maybe. It looks like it sometimes. Any thought of how Yaakov subdivided the family into two camps? We back down from that afterwards. He two camps was till he sent messengers. When he sent messengers, I think he was afraid that the messengers got beat up and threatened, and then they gave over the information about the two camps. So then he goes back from two camps to one camp. So then when he goes back to one camp, they're going to be looking for the other camp. So therefore, you've just now doubled the size of what you think that your power is. Very clever. Military tactics. Okay, everyone, have a good Shabbos.